And then all they have to do is just turn around and let the river take them, and it's going to take them somewhere. So might as well see where it's going to take. You don't even have to paddle.
Welcome, and this is Far Betterment. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining me on another episode of Far Betterment, the podcast where we learn new things about old friends and old things about new friends. First of all, thank you to those of you who've listened, who've subscribed, and who've downloaded the podcast. Your support means the world to me, so thank you. And a special thank you to those of you who've given the podcast a 5-star rating, who've taken the time out of your day to go do that. I appreciate that so much. If you haven't done so already, please, please hit that subscribe button. You can find us on your favorite podcasting platform. And please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. It lets everybody out there know that you're enjoying what we're doing here on Far Betterment. In this episode, I'm joined by Scott Randolph. Some of you may know Scott from YouTube, where he often appears on Steve-O's YouTube channel, or as Steve-O's producer or tour manager of Steve-O's The Bucket List Tour. But Scott's also a consultant, filmmaker, and documentarian. Last year, Scott traveled across India solo on a motorcycle, filming every moment, and we talk a little bit about how exciting and at times terrifying that experience was. That documentary will be called Perfect Chaos, and I'll be sure to update you once there's a concrete release date for that. We also talk about sobriety, having completed 6 years of sobriety, and how freeing that's been. And personally, just a huge, huge congratulations to Scott. Being an addict myself, I understand how difficult every day can be, so truly congratulations to him. We also take some time to discuss spirituality and contentment. As of right now, Scott can be found on tour with Steve-O on the Bucket List Tour, so be sure to visit Steve-O.com for details and tickets. If they visit a city near you, be sure to grab those tickets. They do go fast. So without further ado, here is Scott Randolph for Far Betterment.
Hello?
Hi, Scott.
Yeah, what's going on?
Hey, Andrew from Far Betterment. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Thank you so much for doing this, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it's a little muffled. But I can hear you all right.
Okay, it'll get better in like 3 minutes.
Oh, okay, cool. Sounds good.
All right. Let's see here.
How's that?
Oh, actually, that's much better, yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm in El Paso, so I'm kind of in a weird... I'm right by the airport, so there's nowhere I can go that has good reception, so this is the best place I found.
Oh, that makes... Yeah, that's... I've been out there, actually. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Airport's not a great area, but yeah, no, like I said, I appreciate you doing it, so we'll make it work.
Yeah, no problem.
But you were saying you didn't have a chance to look at the... you did look at the Instagram? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did look at your Instagram right when you reached out, and then... So I don't have any questions. I just didn't know if you had any questions for me, or if you just wanted to start wrapping out, or how does it work?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty casual. When I said it's casual, man, it's casual. I kind of started this whole thing as an excuse to stay in contact with my friends and people I hadn't, kept in contact with, and it ended up turning into this thing where I started talking to strangers and just getting to know people and realizing like, oh wow, we can all relate to each other on some level at least. And that's kind of what it was about. And then I started having people reach out to me that wanted to be on, and it kind of just blew up in the last few months. And you've actually, this is going to sound odd, but you've always been somebody I've looked at and thought like, that guy seems like he lives an exciting life, or at least, the life that he wants to live. He doesn't, answer to anybody. He just wants to be happy. And I think that's a great attitude to have. And, really like inspiring for a lot of people. So I've always wanted to ask you, and I kind of just finally worked up the nerve to do it. So,
Well, I'm glad you did. Yeah. I'm pretty happy. Life is good. I'm content. I think in 2000s, I read a lot of books on self-help because I wasn't always that way. I was always trying to find the answers and trying to, you know, and I think what happened was, I mean, I don't know, the quote when you were talking, the quote that stuck out to me, or there's like this story by this guy, Wayne Dyer, was talking about these two cats that were hanging in an alley. And the one cat was chasing his tail and going around in circles and circles and circles, and then he was just kept, you know, trying to grab his tail. And this other cat came walking along a brick wall and was kind of checking this out. And he looked at the cat that was chasing his tail, and he's like, "Well, what are you doing?" And the cat goes, "I heard that happiness is in my tail, and if I just am able to grab it, then I'll be happy." And the cat on the brick wall laughs, and he goes, "You know, I was always told that you kind of just keep on doing what you're doing, and your tail follows you wherever you go." And I think that kind of made a lot of sense to me, that it's like we're always trying to search for things that are going to make us happy, and you know, it just never, you're never going to do that. Like, we're always looking for booze or drugs or women or men or Netflix or something that's going to fulfill that void inside your stomach. And that never does, you know, you always think that, you know, getting the house, getting the money, it never makes you happy. Mm-hmm. And I think just kind of following your path and doing what kind of like intuitively guides you to do does. And so it's brought me to my point in my career to where I don't answer to anybody. I mean, sure, you know, like I have work that I have to do and I have deadlines that I have to hit, but for the most part, I didn't really do well working for other people. But towards the end, it's like, I think my life started when I got sober, and you know, I was one way when I wasn't sober. And then I remember I used to work in restaurant jobs my whole life. And so like, it was just a fucking miserable experience for me. And, I was always angry and resentful and, you know, people, places and things. And then I remember I had a sober job as a bartender, my first job sober. And like, I think the difference in my mindset there was like, I was actually happy. I was actually kind of, so it's like, it's a choice, you know? And so I had a boss and I had this, but I remember thinking like, I wanted people when they came in to have the best time of their life at the restaurant. And I think the weird switch for me was that I actually wanted to do that for them. And I knew that's how I knew I changed, because like, it went from like, oh, you know, like, can I cuss on this thing?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I was just like, dude, like back in the days, I was like, man, fuck these people. Yeah. Like, you know, just hurry up and give me money, whatever. And then when I kind of like got sober and I like, you know, started doing the work that people do in recovery, I really just, it was a weird thing that I really just wanted to make sure that the people that came in enjoyed the shit out of themselves. And that's where I was kind of like, oh, that's weird.
That's really interesting, actually. A lot of people don't have that like switch, or they kind of just want to have, you know, especially like in today's culture, you have this like YOLO kind of like, I hate that word, so I apologize for using it, but no, kind of like cool. Lifestyle, you know? And I really gravitate more towards people that want to make other people happy. I think that's a lot more rewarding and fulfilling. Not to be like judgmental. Sorry.
No, I think like there's a book written by Neil Donald Walsh called The Conversations with God. Mm-hmm. And he goes in there and he talks about, you know, like people always are obsessed with like the law of attraction, right? And they, mm-hmm. it's like they want to like think something and they think it's going to appear. And like kind of what that book was saying was like, dude, you have to believe that it's going to happen in your thoughts and in your words and in your actions, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the difference between most people is they have one of the three and not all three. And I think that's what the difference for me when like manifesting shit started happening rather quickly was when all three were convinced. Because you can, you know, people are like, you know, people ask you, how you doing? And like, you can be miserable and you can be like, oh, living the dream.
Yeah.
Like, that's your word, right? Or like, you can think it, you can be like, okay, dude, I'm happy, you know, and then you could tell people you're happy, but you don't feel happy. So I think then the difference was when all three of those things started, like when they're all matching up, that's when it was just kind of like on fire.
So what got you to that point? You know, was it just that job specifically, or had you already kind of been on that path?
I got on the path, I think when, probably when I was like 18, you know, okay. Like I went to Catholic school growing up, got kicked out, just cause I was always getting in trouble. Then went to a Christian school in junior high and got in a lot of trouble there. And then I went to, you know, public high school, got in a lot of trouble. And then after high school, I think, you know, when I was 18, I just had really bad anxiety. So I started doing everything I could to like try to heal that. And I found it in religion. I found it in like the Christian faith. And then, so I think that's where it started, because I felt like a lot better, right? I felt like I had a purpose. I felt like this. And then I think as the more and more I started reading about the Christian religion, like I just, you know, I started just finding holes in it, and I just started like, but I knew that I was on to something with like God, right? So that seemed to give me some sense of purpose. And then I didn't agree with like religion. So I started looking at other religions, and I started looking at all different kinds of stuff. And then, when I was like 24, 25, I read a book called The Yoga of Christ, which was pretty cool. And then I started, and I was like, man, who wrote that book? And it was written by a guy, Yogananda Paramahansa. And, then I started reading his stuff, and then I started getting really into meditation. And, then once I started getting into meditation, you know, I just started reading self-help books, all I can get, and started exploring all the religions of the world, and started just looking into different like meditation. And then I started just going deep into meditation. So like towards the end of my drug use, like I was constantly smoking pot, but I was constantly like locking myself in a dark room for hours and meditating, or like, you know, doing cocaine or whatever, and then meditating. And I was just kind of like, I didn't want to hang out with people when I was like 27, 28, 29. And I think I just started exploring like inside. And so that's, you know, that's where it kind of started happening. So when I say when I was 18, like religion did it for me, I think that was the catalyst,
okay.
But it wasn't like the answer.
I really like that, actually. I think a lot of people use religion and I'm not trying to, you know, down talk religion or anything like that. I think a lot of people use it as like an end all be all. It's like the excuse, the reason, and the savior. So I like that you question things. Is that something you've always kind of done, like question things and then want to know more? Or is that something that kind of developed naturally over?
Well, if you're going to make something a part of your life, you might as well know everything about it.
I love
right?
That.
So like once you start like, once you read the Bible, there's like certain things in the Bible that just don't make sense. And then, you know, there's certain things. And then like getting into the New Testament, like there's a big lapse in Jesus's, you know, from 12 to 30. So I'm like, dude, I'm 26. Like, what was Jesus doing when he was my age? Nobody had answers. Everybody I asked in the Christian faith thought they had the right answers, and they're all different answers. And so I just was like, well, dude, that's weird. And then I started just kind of looking at other things, and things started making sense for me. And it just, you know, nothing I was doing, like, it kind of added up. And there's a lot of hypocrisy in religion, and there's a lot of just, you know, it just doesn't, some things don't make sense. And I just questioned everything, and, you know, and then I started finding things that did make sense. And I started just kind of like wrapping my head around that and then going down that rabbit hole. And I think the more and more, as more and more things like started making sense for me, then it just kind of like kind of started developing who I am as a person.
What role does that play in your life now? Religion or spirituality? I know you said you meditate a lot, and that's one way.
I think it brought me to where I am today. I think, you know, I think it has everything to do with where I'm at today. I just did a motorcycle trip around India, and I filmed a documentary, and that's going to be coming out soon. And, you know, the interesting thing I found with the Indian people is that they dedicate their whole entire lives to God, right? So, like, in America, it's probably, like, 10%. And, or, you know, if that. Like, there's some idea of God or a higher power, you know, but there it's, like, it's 100%, like before they get up in the morning, they touch the ground because they're going to walk on it because they think God's in the ground too. It's like it's everything they do is just more dedicated. So I really found that fascinating. I think it just had everything to do because it brought me to like that point in my life of like traveling around and checking all those places out. I don't know. It's just a mixture of everything. Like I just picked and pulled from like a lot of different things. I got really into Ralph Waldo Emerson. So Cause and Effect, you know, his essay on compensation really changed my life. You know, the law of cause and effect, and just kind of like, I was listening to a lecture on Napoleon Hill, and, he had a quote in there. He said, you know, it's up to every person to find out what the laws of nature are and adapt themselves to them. And the ones who can't will just blow by the stray winds of circumstance. And the ones who do find out what the laws of nature are and adapt themselves to them, they can essentially do anything they want. So then I started looking at, I was like, man, what? Like, you know, what is that? And I started looking up, like, universal laws of nature and, like, certain universal truths. And then, like, started finding them, and I started finding, you know, there's certain laws that are just kind of like, I don't know, like the law of vibration, like everything vibrates, you know, there's a law of cause and effect. There's the law of resonance. There's the law of attraction. There's the law of, cycles, like high tide, low tide, like everything has a cycle. So I think if once you find out what those are, you can kind of start like kind of just playing the game. And you don't have to work so hard.
You
don't have to eat soup with a fork.
That's a great analogy, actually. I think that's an excellent analogy for the way people live their lives a lot of times.
Yeah. You know, they jump into the river, and then they have a goal, and they think the goal is behind them, and so they turn around and start swimming upstream, and they get exhausted, and then all they have to do is just turn around and let the river take them, and it's going to take them somewhere. So might as well see where it's going to take. You don't even have to paddle.
So do you think that you kind of like, I mean, obviously you talk about things being like, or getting easier, and, you know, you obviously worked for people, you know, worked many jobs and did this and that just like everybody else. And like, what would you say to those people that, you know, say, oh, I don't have the time to read all these books, or I don't have the time to, or I, you know, I need money. I have to, that's a big one. I need to make money nonstop. I can't survive without it. Like, what would you say to those people?
Yeah. I mean, they can listen to audiobooks while they sit in traffic instead of listening to music, mm-hmm. You know, they can listen to music on that. They can work. I would just say like, have a schedule. Like have a routine, you know, like it's look at the effects of your life. And if your life is shitty, then you have shitty causes. So find out what those are and fix them. But most people don't want to look at that, and and they're too scared to, and they don't want to, they're okay with like, not being in their comfort zone, which is fine. It's super fine, but it's like, you're not going to find like happiness if you're stuck in your bubble. That's easy. I wouldn't say, I mean, it's like, you know, when you say when you said the word easy, I would say simple, not easy.
Oh yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's a much better way to put it. Things people like simple.
So,
I mean, it's comfortable, like you were saying.
Well, then why are they making it so hard on themselves?
That was a great point. Why do you think people make it so hard on themselves?
Because they think that's all they can get, and they have a core belief system of like who they think they are, and they don't even know what they're thinking about themselves. I went to a 3-day silent retreat, and no phones, no talking, nothing. And I can't tell you how crazy it is of what goes on in your head when you're not distracting yourself. And like that's going on all day, whether you like it or not. People want to drown it out in reading, TV, like music. They're drowning that out, but it's still going on in their subconscious, whether they like it or not. So you might as well take time to hear that. And then, because it's like, if I said, who's Andrew? It's like, I don't know if you can answer that question. Maybe you can, but like, we have these core belief systems about ourselves on who we think we are, right? So it's like when I started asking myself, who's Scott Randolph? Like, I didn't know who I was. So in therapy, like in recovery, they talk a lot about core values and core beliefs, right? Mm-hmm. So we have these ideas that we take from childhood on, you know, maybe like 4 or 5 of the main, of the most important things that like, that come into somebody's existence. So, you know, if I asked you, like, I think instead of just, I'll just tell you what I did and how it made sense for me was I, when I read that, I was like, oh my God, like, what is that? You know? And somebody was like, well, why don't you write down your idea of God? So I wrote down my idea of God and I read it to somebody and I was like, whoa, like my idea of God's really like screwed up. Like, it's a judgmental God. He gets mad at me when I do things wrong. He punishes me. There's a hell, there's a heaven, there's, you know, if you, whatever. And so then when I read that to somebody and they're like, does that really sound like that's the God that you want running your life? And I was like, no, not at all. I was like, he's like, yeah, it sounds like a fucking evil dad. So I redid that. I rewrote kind of what I wanted. And when I did that, it was such a beautiful thing. That like, dude, my whole fucking life started changing because my core beliefs started changing about God and like where I come from and like, you know, what's really going on in this world. Then I did the same. Okay, if that's true about God, then okay, what's another important thing that people ask themselves about is money. So I wrote down money and I said, money's, you know, you got to work hard for money. You know, like my dad worked 18 hours a day for money. And so like, that's what I just thought that's what you had to do. You got to work really hard. Money's the root of all evil. Money's this, money's that. And when I looked at it on paper, I was like, well, no wonder why I don't have any money. I think it's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
And I think you have to work really hard to get it. And so then I rewrote like, you know, money's really easy to get. Money's a thing. It has no emotion. It's not evil. It's an amazing thing because when you have money, you feel good. And like, you can help other people out with money. So I just rewrote that to be a beautiful thing. And I started making more money. Then I did it with relationships and women. And then I did it with like, I had a screwed up idea on what women were. And it was no wonder why I kept having toxic and bad relationships. And I did it with, so then I did it with myself. And so I just started doing it with certain things and like, well, I changed, you know, cause that's what I thought, that's what was going on in my subconscious about those things. And those are the important things in somebody's life. So I just think that like, you know, what would I tell the person out there? I was like, dude, I'd really like really, really watch and write down and maybe fix what you think about certain things because you've been taught to believe something your whole life and it's wrong.
I think that's huge that people don't realize that they can do that. People don't realize they can change those core beliefs. How did you come to that? Like just through talking through these people, or is that something you just decided like, look, I like this about myself. I don't like this. I like this. I don't like this. And you kind of just rewrote your entire life. Or is that something you gained through therapy, through instruction, through
Yeah, I think I read it all.
Okay.
I just reading so many books, I started piecing certain things together, and then like I started to kind of, you know, that. And then once I got into recovery and sobriety, then it kind of all started like clicking together. But I think just, you know, meditation, you know, learning about different religions. I mean, because everybody's saying the same thing,
yeah.
Right? Like all religions say the same thing. And all the people down from Emerson to Socrates are all talking about meditating. Like, because they all know something that's, they all kind of like have a common theme in all of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's universal truths that like, no matter what age you're in, like they're true, whether, you know, it doesn't matter what year it is. And I always ask myself, like, how do these people know? Like, how do they know those things? And why is Milton saying the same thing as Socrates is saying the same thing as Emerson is saying the same thing as Tony Robbins? It's because all those people, they take time to meditate and they go within. And all the answers are within.
So this might be a question that you can't answer or don't want to answer, but what have you learned about yourself from going within, from meditating?
I think that, like, you know, we are all gods. I think there's a quote in the Bible that says, you know, Jesus says, like, you know, ye are all gods. And all these things that I can do, you can do, and greater things. So I just think that, you know, we're all made of the same thing. And I think the people that realize that go really, really far in life, and they vibrate at higher frequencies. And then, you know, and if you don't realize that, you always wonder why bad things happen to you, and you blame other people for your things. And I think what I've learned about myself is that, like, everything that's happening in my life is my fault, whether good or bad. I think, you know, if I get into a bad relationship, it's my fault. You can't blame other people because they didn't do anything. You did it. You attracted that. You brought them into your life, whether you thought it or not. And I think, and that's what I realized, is that I realized that we're all spiritual beings having a human experience. And I think the purpose in the life is to be of service and to help other people out. And I think that's it.
What I liked what you said earlier, like when we first started talking about happiness, and that you're content. Like, what would you say to you the difference is?
The richest people in the world were interviewed by Napoleon Hill, and Napoleon Hill wrote Think and Grow Rich, and Andrew Carnegie gave him intros to the richest people in the world, like the people like Andrew Carnegie and Thomas Edison and Henry Ford, like the people that had like hundreds of billions of dollars in like the 18 and 1900s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said all these people had everything that they wanted. And he said, but they didn't have peace of mind. And he said, most of them almost blew their heads off at the end of their life because they couldn't figure out how to give away all that money without hurting someone. And he said most of them died not a peace of mind. And I think if you have peace of mind, that's the goal, is to have peace. And that's it. And I think once you have that, all the other stuff you want will come, or don't come. You'll realize you didn't even want it in the first place.
Man,
but I think success is peace of mind.
You're making me feel better about my life already.
Good.
Yeah. No. I that's so huge and validating. I've always been a person that's kind of like, this always sounds terrible, but I don't really care about money. Like, I just don't care. Like, I know I'll do what I need to do and have what I need. But at the end of the day, like, peace of mind is huge to me. It's huge. Like, I just want to be comfortable, content, you know?
Yeah.
And do things that I want to do rather than things that I have to do all the time, you know? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and form like good relationships. Like, that's huge to me also.
Yeah. I'm really careful who I let into my circle,
mm-hmm.
because I just, you know, that is important. Cause I just, you know, I think that I don't know. I'm more of like a, I'm pretty introverted, I would say. Like when I, well, in the first part of my life, I was a real extrovert.
Okay.
But like as I get older, I kind of wanted to be kept to myself.
Yeah.
And the most freeing thing that I've learned in the last maybe 6 years is the word no. And you're not a bad guy if you say no.
Yeah.
And I never, because I always just said yes to everybody. And then I was spread so thin that I just never did anything for me. So now I put myself first, which is cool.
I still need to learn to do that, I think. I was like that. Like I said yes to everybody all the time. But I was the kind of person that would say yes and then kind of like flake out at the end because I never really wanted to do it in the first place. So that's kind of like the worst kind of yes person.
Well, it's no boundaries and people pleasing.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Did you have a relative that was close to you that was an alcoholic?
I did. And I grew up Catholic also. So.
Yeah. So there's guilt and there's like, there's taking care of somebody else.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And walking on eggshells to not disrupt them.
Absolutely. That you nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is like, you know, learning that is that it's not personal. Like there's just a template that certain people follow. And then you can like, you know, like if there's certain characteristic traits of like that somebody does, you can kind of guess, unfortunately, like what, you know, cause there's really only like 10 kinds of people out there, right? There's like so many different problems and like, they can all root back to some cause of like maybe 10 different scenarios that happened to your life. And like, that's the effect of like who you are now. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. That's crazy to think about.
It's crazy, right? But there's a solution and you can heal from it because other people have had your same problems. And, it's kind of cool once you start figuring that out. If you're not, if it's like a business transaction, you're not like emotionally invested in the answer. It's like, you can look at yourself in a different light. Like for me in sobriety, like there's step 4 and 5 for me is like you write down on paper, like everything, like your entire life. And you look at that and you're like, holy shit. Cause instead of like thinking about those things in your head, because we're biased, like actually putting that down on paper and like reading it to somebody else, it gives you just a real hard look at like who you really are. And then you take out the things you don't want and you keep the things you do want. It's like a Fortune 500 company. The CEO is doing all the business in his head. You wouldn't do that. It would fail. So you have to put things on paper and then you have to look at that. It's like, you just treat yourself as a business and then you just throw away the things you don't want. And you keep the things you do want.
So how long have you been sober, if you don't mind me asking?
6 years.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not, you know, I did it to save my life.
Absolutely.
I just felt like I was operating at like 60% and I felt really guilty about things. And so, and then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to stop drinking. And then I couldn't. So then I was like, oh boy, I should probably do something about it.
Yeah.
I couldn't. So then I got help.
What made you decide to get help? Just the fact that you couldn't stop or?
Yeah, I tried to stop on my own and I couldn't. It took me like 3-4 years to figure that out. I was like, I'm not going to drink today. And then I'd like just justify things in my head. Like, okay, I'm only going to drink once a week.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm only going to get drunk once a week. I could drink every day. There's all these things that you tell yourselves. And then I just couldn't stop. And I was like, whoa. And then I tried to stop, but I couldn't. And then I just started unraveling.
When did you start like doing all the traveling and deciding to, or I don't know if you decided to, maybe it just was circumstance, but to travel the world basically.
I bought a one-way ticket when I was 20 to Europe, and I traveled 3 months with my buddy Derek, and we hit up like 12 countries in Europe. And then ever since then, I was kept trying to find ways to like make money to travel. I'd buy a house in Arizona and then I'd try to like flip it and sell it and then take that money to travel. And then I couldn't. But by the time I did that, before I got sober, I was at maybe like 14 countries traveled. And then in the last 6 years, I've been to 50. So just with my career and all that, I started traveling a bunch. And I try to hit up like, you know, 8 countries a year.
That's crazy. That's awesome, though. What have you learned?
Yeah, I'm trying to go to all of them.
Like, what have you learned from seeing other cultures and stuff?
Everybody's all the same.
Yeah.
Everybody's all, you know, people are people, like I said. We're all, at the end of the day, like, nobody has any fucking idea what we're doing here. So we all just try to, like, you know, do what we think is best. And generally speaking, people are really good. You know, all over the world, people are good. It's just some people, you know, they with a roll of the dice, they're born certain places and they have different circumstances. And I don't know. I think, you know, I have a really hardcore conservative Christian aunt who got really bummed at my answer. But, you know, every time she calls me, she asks me how I'm doing with the Lord. And it's always just like, fuck, you know, it's coming every phone call. And it's just kind of like, you know, for me, it's like whether or not you're Christian or not, I think it's just kind of like, it's kind of your own personal business. Mm-hmm. But I was talking with her and at the end of the call, she goes, "So I got to ask, how you doing with the Lord?" And I said, you know, there's a quote that I really like, and it goes like this. I said, "The more and more I travel, the closer I get to God, and the further away from religion I get." And she was pretty bummed at that answer, but I love it. I think it's so true.
I think that's an amazing answer. And I like what you said about most people being good, because I tell my kids that all the time. You know, like, just if I simplify it, most people are good. Good people make bad choices. Sometimes.
Yeah, I think,
you know,
they're just, you don't know what's like behind somebody's motive. I mean, that doesn't mean you need to like hang out with everybody and talk to them, but like, dude, some people just have a lot, they just have bad luck and they, not bad luck, but they just made bad decisions and like one thing starts snowballing and then it's like, I think drugs and alcohol play a big part in that. I think like, you know, because then, dude, if you're all fucked up, you're out of your mind. And, like, dude, you're not even really making good decisions anyway. Like, some of the stuff I did as a kid drunk, dude, I thank God there was no video, like, cameras then.
Do you find yourself, like, coming across that in your life? You know, obviously you've been on, like, YouTube and stuff, and I don't want to, you know, bring anybody into your interview, but you've hung out with some people that are known, and like, have you found yourself in that situation where you are careful about what you do, or you've done something that you didn't want seen, or, like, that's got to be an interesting world.
You just want to stay out of religion and politics, mm-hmm. and like, but you're never going to make everybody happy. Yeah. I haven't really done anything, you know, too crazy, but I think for the most part, like in my line of work, like, you know, we just do things to make other people laugh. So, yeah. So it's not like I'm coming out saying fuck Trump or I'm pro Bernie or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to hurt other people. We're not drinking and doing shit. So it's like, we're not like making fun. It's like, it's just kind of like everything is really calculated now. And when we plan things, it's like, you know, we plan things to be silly and we don't like, but I see some of these kids like that are getting in trouble. It's like, I get it. You know, fuck, dude, being 18 with a video camera, like I was like throwing people's like patio furniture into their pool, or like kicking holes in hotel walls and whatever. It's like, dude, like, you know, I would have recorded everything. And I just think that, like, you know, like I said, people are going to be people. And sometimes, like, dude, kids are kids and you make mistakes as a kid. That's the whole, in the book Conversation with God, the guy asked God, what's the whole purpose for life? And he goes, it's to experience everything. You know, how are you going to know what to do if you don't know what not to do? So I just think, like, you know, and another thing, Andrew Carnegie said, the first third of your life is to make as many mistakes as you can. The second third of your life is to make as much money as you can, you know, learning from those mistakes. And the last third of your life is to give away as much money as you can. And I just like that.
Do you think you've done that yet? Do you think you've finished, you know, I mean, obviously, I don't know, like, your net worth, and I'm not trying to ask that, but do you think you've hit that point yet where you're making money, you're comfortable, and you know, you're starting to transition, or do you think you're still, what's next, I guess, you know?
Well, I think I'm definitely in the second third of my life. I'm definitely not living out of my car anymore, you know, I'm making money. I've made a lot of everybody's going to make mistakes.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
It's not the issue, but like, there's not that point where I'm just fucking like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm on a good, I mean, that could all change at any second, but I think for the most part, like, I'm just trying to set up myself financially to when I retire and I can like live a happy life. And then in the process, you know, help as many people as I can. But, yeah, I'm in the process of saving and kind of like investing and you know, learning from my mistakes. You know, I want to buy a house, but in my 20s, I bought a house during the recession and I went foreclosure and I let all my credit cards go. And, you know, I mean, I'm learning from those mistakes. I'm waiting to like make investments. And I'm, like I said, there's a law of cycles. Sometimes there's a high tide and low tide in all things. And so I'm just trying to ride out and trying to find out when things will turn.
There's no lesson like being broke. Being broke will teach you a whole lot.
Yeah. That's a rough one, man. I don't wish, I mean, you learn a lot about yourself.
Oh yeah.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah. It's crazy, dude. I'm glad I'm not there right now. I've paid off my debt. I've made some financial amends. I just wrote a check to somebody. Hopefully that will be the last, you know, for my using days. I wrote them a check and that'll be the last payment loan, and I can start just saving for everything and starting my life. You know?
So what are you up to right now? I know you said you went to India and rode a motorcycle. I was actually going to ask you about that.
I'm finishing up a documentary. I rode a motorcycle for a month around India. That's coming out hopefully soon. Finished up this month. It's going to be called Perfect Chaos. I work with Steve-O, so we're on tour for the Bucket List. I'm in El Paso right now doing that. I consult for a cannabis company in my off time, and you know, we film for YouTube. We're working on some TV stuff and just try to keep busy, dude. We got our online store cracking, and you know, just trying to work that all out.
Are you still running On Point Lifestyle? I know that you were doing that at one point, and kind of, I thought it was an awesome idea, you know, giving tips to people who wanted to travel and stuff.
Yeah, I think whenever I go somewhere, I'll pick it back up and write it. But like, I think for the most part, I just wanted a placeholder there to kind of, you know, just to serve its purpose. And I think it's done. But I do have I'll do that documentary under On Point Lifestyle, and then I'll probably sell it.
Okay.
Just cause I'm busy, man. And,
oh yeah.
And it's nice to like kind of declutter your life.
So with that trip to India, what was that experience like? Like, you were completely by yourself, or were you guys filming together, or?
I brought a film crew. I coordinated a film crew when I was over there.
Okay.
To travel with me. It was gnarly. Like, people, you know, ask me if I almost died over there, and I would say I almost died 25 times a day.
Jeez.
I was on a motorcycle riding through the gnarliest place in the world.
Yeah.
you know, opposite side of the road for 16 hours a day. Like, it was heavy, dude. It was one of the craziest things I've ever done in my life.
That driving over there looks insane. Like a motorcycle.
Well, there's no rules.
Yeah.
There's no rules. Like if there's a traffic stop, you can probably ride your motorcycle through a restaurant to get to the other side. Like nobody cares.
What's like the scariest moment you had over there? Is there one or?
a bunch.
Yeah.
Trying to think. I don't know. I had a couple weird things that happened to me. I got in an accident over there. Hit my head pretty hard. If I wasn't wearing a helmet, I would have been dead. Sorry, I'm getting ready for the show tonight while I talk to you. I got to wrap up like in 5 minutes. So I don't mean to be rude.
But, no, you're not at all. No, you're totally fine.
Okay. I was going like 70 on a bike. And somebody threw out some bananas in front of me. And I remember I was like, oh, shit. And then time slowed down to like milliseconds. And everything was like in super slow mo for like in real life, maybe like 25 feet lasted like 10 feet. Just like, and I saw all these monkeys come down and grab the bananas, and it was just fucking weird. Then I had some lady like whisper ohms into my ear. And she was, like, taking my third eye and popping it, like, bubble pop. Like, the melee shit. And I was like, oh, that's weird, you know? And then I went home that night, and I was just puking up black stuff all night. And I was, like, sick for, like, 18 hours of just, like, I didn't eat anything black. And, like, that was weird. I think because she's like, you have some stuff inside you that I want to get out. That was weird. And then, it's just crazy. Like, there was a guy's cave, Babaji's cave, that I've always wanted to go to, and I went to it, and that was pretty life-changing. Meditating under the Bodhi tree was cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just think, just doing something like that was pretty crazy.
Well, look, I know you said you... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, yeah. Seeing dead bodies burning on a river, it's wild. But yeah, dude, I got to get going because I got to walk over and pick up some stuff. We're in El Paso tonight. So I got to do a little bit of a walk-in before... I head there, but I appreciate it, man. Thank you for letting me do this.
No, thank you for being on. I really appreciate it, man. Like, it's huge for me, so I appreciate it. And that concludes another episode of Far Betterment. Thank you to all my listeners. Thank you to all my subscribers. And thank you to everybody who's rated the podcast so far. If you haven't subscribed, you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Apple, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, including where you're listening to podcasts right now. And please, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us tremendously. I can't tell you how much it helps us. If you want to give us anything less than 5 stars, please don't. There's really no reason.